Joined by John Soule. What is your position at the Bridge Street
Theater? I'm the artistic and managing director at Bridge Street Theater in Catskill.
Okay. Right down the street here, the wonderful theater that came to Catskill 3 years ago?
Well, this is actually our fifth season. We're just finishing our fifth season.
So you've been here a while now.
Well, we bought the building in 2013. We started doing stuff in 2014, so yeah. Yeah. It's been quite an adventure.
How was this past season?
It was great, really great. We did 5 shows in our regular production season. We did a lot of special events. Last show was a big show for us called Casse-Noisette. It was a world premiere of a play by a playwright named Michael Whistler, who we had had some connections with in the past. And it was a play about Tchaikovsky with a parallel story about a modern character played by the same person who played the Tchaikovsky character. And both were troubled, let's say, in troubled relationships with young men. And the modern character was a high school teacher, so definitely problematic. And Tchaikovsky, the story is that he probably committed suicide in order to keep his reputation from being destroyed by the fact that he had had inappropriate relationships, let's say, with very young men. Most Soviet authorities and scholars will deny that, but apparently that's what happened.
It's a hidden history.
Definitely a hidden history. So this was about hidden histories, actually, and it was a really amazing play, and we had great reaction to it, so it was a good end to our season.
All right, and you've got a bunch of new things planned for 2019?
We do indeed, yes.
How many shows are you putting on this
year?
Well,
we're doing 5 shows as part of our regular season. I'll just push now and then come back to it later. But you can buy a season subscription pass for just $100 that gets you into all 5 shows for free.
Is that at bridgestreettheater.org?
Org, yes. You can find out all about it there, yeah. Anyway, we're doing 2 world premieres. We did 1 world premiere last year, the Casse-Noisette play. We're doing 2 this year. We're also achieving gender parity, which is a wonderful goal for us. We actually, 3 of the 5 plays we're doing are women playwrights, female playwrights, and 3 of the directors that are directing the plays are also women. So we're very excited about that. Get some female energy in there, which we love. So the first play we're doing in April, it's called The Letters. It's by a guy named David Zelnick. We've had a long-term relationship with him, actually, just knowing his plays. And I directed a couple of his plays at Stageworks in Hudson, short plays. He's probably best known now for a play called Yank, which is a musical that he wrote with his brother. His brother wrote the music. It's a play about World War II magazine for gay World War II soldiers. And it was done at the York Theater, which does a lot of new musicals in New York City. It was done, they workshopped it for a Broadway production, but couldn't get the funding for it. So then it was done in London to great success, and it was done in Rio to great success, but still hasn't been done in the U.S. Anyway, this play is a play with 4 characters, and it was workshopped at Ensemble Studio Theater in New York, where David is a member. They had an option on it for about a year and then decided they didn't want to do it. And then it went to the public theater for a while, and they looked at it and they weren't sure. And it was also a film and a Stage and Film, which is an organization that works at Vassar at the Powerhouse Theater, was also did a reading of it in New York City. So it's been around for a while, but no one seemed to pick it up, and we had been interested in it from the beginning, and David finally said, okay, you got it. You're doing the world premiere of it. So that's really exciting for us. It's a beautiful play about 3 friends who meet in 20 years ago, basically in Berlin, as students, and then a later story where they're in New York City, and relationships that had been created then are kind of falling apart, and it's a funny and really moving play. I think it's really exciting. We're really excited to be doing it. One thing, it has a South Asian character, which we have found somebody to play, who's a New York actor, but he's currently traveling the world. He's actually from Sri Lanka. And is in Berlin, which is where the first story takes place right now, sort of looking at the place where it's taking place. So he's a really interesting actor. His latest thing was a movie that he played some kind of warrior, you know, type. Done a lot of film work, actually. And we've got a couple of other people on the radar, at least, for it. So it should be a wonderful cast.
I guess there's not too many wartime musicals.
Well, this is not a musical.
Oh, it's not a musical.
No,
okay.
this is a straight play, actually. And then we're doing a play called The Moors by Jen Silverman. She's an up-and-coming playwright right now. Her latest play, I have to read this title.
That's long. Boy, I guess we're going to be here a while.
Well, this will tell you a little bit about who she is, I think. This is a play that had a New York premiere just a few months ago at Manhattan Theater Club, at Manhattan MCC, whatever that is. The play is called Collective Rage, a play in five Bettys, in essence a queer and occasionally hazardous exploration. Do you remember when you were in middle school and you read about Shackleton and how he explored the Antarctic? Imagine the Antarctic as a pussy, and it's sort of like that. So she's a very, out there feminist playwright. And we just tapped a director to play it who's also very involved in the female playwright, you know, and theater community. She's just moved to Saugerties, actually, from Arizona. And Stephen, my husband, partner in the theater, knew her husband. He's been in a couple of plays with her husband, Kent Burnham, who's a wonderful actor. So she found out we were doing The Moors, and she came to me and said, "Oh my God, we have to! I have to come see you." So we actually had a meeting yesterday and signed her up for this. And she's a great. She should be a wonderful asset. She's got a lot of ideas and is a really exciting director. So we're looking forward to that. It's a play that takes place on the moors. In the 1840-ish, she says. It's kind of a modern story, or modern characters that, you know, seem to be around the time of Wuthering Heights and the Bronte sisters, and that has a lot of elements of that. There's also a character that's a mastiff, played by a man, the only male character, and then there are five female characters.
You couldn't get a dog to do the role?
Well, I don't think training a dog to speak this poetry, he's actually a sort of a veiled poet, but he falls in love with a moorhen, and it's a sort of a relationship not destined to be successful, ultimately, I would say.
Local talking poetry dogs.
Well, Stephen actually played a cat and a dog in a previous play that we did called How to Pray. We'll get to that in a minute, too.
Do you have trouble finding enough great actors?
Who will play dogs?
But in general, is the talent pool rich in the Hudson Valley for theater?
You know, we do cast locally whenever we can. This last show had actually just one local actor. But we go to New York. We cast out of New York. We now have an apartment, just renovated an apartment upstairs at the theater, which we got a grant to do. So we can house eight actors upstairs in the theater now. So that's a great boon to us.
So you and Lumberyard are both bringing artists to
the
community.
We are bringing artists in the community, and they love it here. They are really, they had a great time. The group for Casse-Noisette had a wonderful time here. They love the area, you know. Who knows? They may, you know, get up here and be permanent residents at some point. Anyway, that's the The Moors.
When is that coming?
That plays May 30th through June 9th. Then we have this. We're doing a musical for the first time. It's called The Shags, Philosophy of the World.
It's about the band.
Do you know
band?
The Shags?
I know the Shags.
Yeah. Well, this is a musical about the Shags, the Shags story. actually 13 years ago, I think now, Stephen played the lead in the world premiere of it in Southern California, in L.A. And it's a brilliant musical. It does tell the story of the Shags and their... Stephen plays the father.
I was going to say, he played the lead. The lead
he plays the lead. The lead is really the father who drives the whole thing. If you know the story of them, father's mother was a psychic and told her son that he was going to create a girls band that was going to take over the world, you know, was going to be very successful. It wasn't happening, so he took three of his daughters out of high school and sort of locked them in the living room, gave them instruments, and told them to create their own music and play. And obviously a tyrant. We like to say that the father's character is a little cross between Mama Rose and King Lear.
It sounds like Brian Wilson's father too.
He is a tyrant, you know.
Or the Jackson's dad. The father in rock and roll history is a
complicated and a powerful entity, and this father is as well. So this is written by a woman, Joy Gregory. The music is by a guy named Gunnar Mattson, who founded the Bobs in San Francisco, mm-hmm. which is an a cappella group. And the music is wonderful, tuneful, charming music. The Shags, if you don't know the Shags were a girl group that were in the late 60s. They played in Fremont, New Hampshire, which is where they're from, and disappeared. And their father died very young of a heart attack, and after that they stopped playing music. But they made an album. The father was sort of scammed into, you know, creating an album of their music, which of course didn't sell any because they had no talent. They were completely talentless. But it was really intriguing. I mean, they did have something going on in their head. And the album was discovered many years later by a rock and roll group, and they actually became the comeback band of the year, Rolling Stones comeback band of the year in 1989, and they became kind of infamous. And it's almost impossible to listen to their music, but it's has a certain integrity. Susan Orleans and the New Yorker did an article on them, and that sort of took them off. The story became very intriguing, and so this play was written after that. And it tells their story. Beautifully written. The central scene takes place in the studio where they're recording the studio. And on one side is the father and the daughters. And the music you hear over there is like bubblegum pop music, really tuneful, charming. And on the other side, you hear the actual Shags recording. And the engineers are going, my gosh, what in the hell is going on here? So you get the real contrast between the actual music and the music that you hear, that the sort of father hears in his head. So it's a really funny, tragic, you know, story, brilliantly done. It was done in New York at Playwrights Horizons, but they unfortunately didn't cast Stephen in the starring role, and it failed. So we decided Stephen is getting a little long and a little old to play the father of teenage daughters, so we decided we better do this quickly. We wanted to do it for years, so we're going to bite the bullet and do a musical.
And this is the one musical where you can audition without any musical talent.
Well, no, the daughters really have to be able to sing. I mean, they do a lot of close harmony. I mean, it's very challenging roles, but we're hoping to tap some high school kids for it. So use Catskill High and local high school students to do it. So that'll be a great opportunity for them. So then we're doing another world premiere. I don't know how much time do we have.
No, we got enough time.
We're good? Okay, great. Okay, so we're doing another world premiere by a woman named Michelle Carter. We did 2 years ago. We did a show called How to Pray. That's where Stephen played a dog and a cat. Michelle is a writer of comedies based on very dark material. How to Pray was about a woman who became a surrogate mother for her brother. And right after she became pregnant, the brother's relationship with his wife completely fell apart, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the child. So she stuck with this baby inside her that she doesn't know what to do with. So it's really, you know, a very interesting play about, you know, her decision as to what she's going to do. And she actually in the play ends up having an abortion and is very happy about it. So it was a controversial, some controversial material there, but it's done so charmingly and thoughtfully that it's very acceptable, and the audience has really liked it a lot. So this is another play about a dark subject that's turned into a comedy, and this time, I don't want to go too much into the story because it's kind of surprising, but in fact, the woman in the play, the lead, her mother has gone on a rampage and done a very inappropriate, let's say, act at the school where she is a student, and they decide to take funding. She was getting free tuition, and she's not getting free tuition anymore because of what happened. And the woman, one of the, there were people killed in this, you know, accident, in this situation, and she was very much intrigued by one of the people who was killed and wants to hires a medium actually to try to make connection to this person. So it's, and also she gets, in the meantime, she also gets a job at a fondue restaurant even though she's lactose intolerant. So it's got it's got this kind of quirky weirdness about it, really intriguing material though, and really brilliantly done. So we're really excited to bring another play of hers back, and again this is a world premiere. And then we're finally doing Subject Was Roses. Oh, and by the way, that play is being directed by Sarah Lampert Hoover, who directed Frankie and Johnny that we did last year. So she's a local resident here, is a wonderful director. Then we're doing The Subject Was Roses, which is a play from the 40s about a World War II veteran coming home to a very dysfunctional family. It's called a comedy drama, and it is. It has a lot of humor in it, but it's really serious play about a family struggling to make things work after this, you know. So it has a lot of echoes and mirrors to, you know, to today's veteran situation. So it's a good play to do, I think, now. It does rarely done now by Frank D. Gilroy. And Flo Hale, who is a local creature.
She does a lot of things, yeah.
She's a local inspiration, I think. She's turning 90 next year, so she will be directing it. She directed a couple, has directed a couple of shows for us. So that'll be she did Driving Miss Daisy last year and Souvenir the year before. So that's exciting for us.
So those are the big productions?
Those are the big productions.
But you've got some smaller shows, too, right?
We've got many other things coming up, too. We've got a saxophone quartet coming in early January. And Charles Bush, the cabaret performer, playwright, media star, is coming back to do a new cabaret show. It's called Charles Bush, Native New Yorker, and it tracks his arrival in New York. With songs by Sondheim and, you know, all kinds of other cabaret songsters.
He's been up a couple times now.
He's
right?
been here, yeah. He was here. He's been here twice before. And this is, again, a show that he is trying out here. We will be the first people. If you come to the show, you'll be the first people to hear it. He's taking it to Feinstein's 54 Below, which is the big cabaret performance space in New York City now. And so Tom Judson is his musical director and accompanist and is a Catskill resident. So Charles sent us a very nice note saying, your theater is so charming and wonderful. We'd love to try out this new show at your theater. So we said, okay, we'll do it. So that's exciting. We love to have him back here. There's a theater called Concrete Temple Theater, which is out of New York, but also does stuff in Hudson that does mostly puppetry work. And they're doing a brand new show that they're going to workshop here in the spring and then come back in the fall to actually do a production of. It's called Pack Rat. So that's going to be an interesting sort of development process for us. We also have a show coming called Crippled, which is a acting troupe out of Newfoundland. And we have had a long connection, Stephen and I, with the Exit Theater in San Francisco. And Exit Theater is getting them to come and do a show in San Francisco. And on their way back from San Francisco, they're going to stop in Catskill and do a performance of this, three performances actually of their show. And it features a disabled actor. I don't know too much about it yet, but it sounds like a very intriguing show. It's gotten rave reviews in Newfoundland, and should be a really interesting piece. And we love to, you know, feature diversity whenever we possibly can, so that'll be exciting for us.
Do you guys have a difficult time getting audiences to turn out for challenging theater in Catskill?
You know, you never know. We did early on, 3 years ago, we did a show called Dirty Packy Lingerie. It was a woman that we had met and seen this show in New York, and we thought that she was interested in bringing it up to us, and we thought, well, okay, but who's going to come? You know, it's a play where she plays multiple roles. She's a Pakistani American, and she played multiple roles, you know, about her family, her grandmother and her mother and her sisters and everybody in her family. And we thought, well, nobody's going to, you know, who's going to come? But we really want to do it because it's really interesting material. Well, we were packed. We were sold out. We had to turn people away. So, you know, again, you don't know. People are hungry for stuff that challenges, I think. And there's not that many theaters in the region that are doing it. We're trying to be unique in that way, do stuff that, you know, makes people think, as well as give them an entertainment, you know, something for the entertainment for their money as well. Bridge Street Belly Dance is coming back. That's Francesca Vanti, and she's an amazing woman. She gathers all these belly dancers, and they come in. We've had, you know, 30 people.
It's basically like all the different belly dancers from the Hudson Valley.
They do. And even, you know, from, you know, Long Island and New Jersey, and, you know, and even, I think, last year we had somebody from the West Coast, from California, come in. And I think she's got even more people from further away. Coming for this time. So that's really exciting. She's an amazing entrepreneur and very enthusiastic about it.
Do they belly dance counterclockwise on the West Coast?
I don't know.
We'll have to find out this year.
To find out. Could be. Flo Hale is also doing a new cabaret show called Life Happens. That's in April.
She does a cabaret show for you every year now?
Well, yes.
It seems like it.
It keeps being her final cabaret, but she says, oh, well, maybe one more. So we'll see how long that happens. We're also doing in August what we call the Shakespeare Sampler. Two people who are very familiar to the theater, Stephen Patterson, who, you know, is my partner and has done a lot of stuff, did a show in L.A. called Shylock, and it's a play about how Shylock was portrayed through the ages. So he plays a bunch of actors who have played, famous actors who have played Shylock. So it's about Merchant of Venice, the play, but it really deals with how Jews are treated, you know, in historically. So it's a really beautiful solo piece. And Roxanne Fay, who's been in several of the plays up here and an absolute audience favorite, has a new play about the real Lady Macbeth. It's, you know, the sort of Lady Macbeth that Shakespeare based his character of Lady Macbeth on. So it again, it's about the world of the play and how it meets reality. So it's a really interesting play. So those are going to go in repertory. We're going to do two or three weekends, actually alternating between the two. So that's going to be in the summer. And then River of Dreams is a play that was done here several years ago at the middle school. And it's based on a book by Hudson Talbot.
Hudson Talbot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's
there's a CD out with all the kids singing on it.
Yes, and that, and we're doing a revival of that, basically. Yeah, Frank Cuthbert did the music, and
he's from Catskill too.
He's also from Catskill, and Jay Lessinger, who is Hudson's husband, is a very well known and very experience, let's say, opera director. He's actually working at the Glimmerglass this summer doing an opera. And so he's directing it for us. So that's going to be very interesting. So we're just meeting tomorrow, I think, or on Thursday, with Michelle Storrs, who's the music coordinator and directs the musical for the high school. And we're going to meet with her and see how we can, what the logistics are of getting this thing on. Because it'll involve 20 or 30 high school kids as well.
So there'll be auditions locally, or
I don't know yet. Yeah. We'll see. We're going to talk to her about it and how we manage it. Yeah.
And if local actors are hearing this and they are interested in getting in some of these roles, should they contact you?
What they need to do is make sure they're on our email list. So if you go to bridgestreettheater.org, you can sign up for emails, and we will announce all our auditions. We'll be having auditions up here, probably February, and also in the city, in New York City. We'll have a whole series. Auditions up here, probably February, and also in the city, in New York City, we'll have a whole series of auditions here, probably February, and also in the city, in New York City, we'll have a whole series of auditions as well, so they can go either place. And yeah, for the high school's kids, we'll also have, you know, separate auditions for those, I'm sure. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. I love to work with, I've been doing the musical, the set for the musical, for the last 5 years, so I'm doing it again. They're doing Beauty and the Beast this year. So
the high school musical you're talking about, collaborate with the Catskill High.
I do the design for them, and then basically pass it off to them. And now the
fact yet of them being there, Lumberyard in Catskill.
Well, they're doing a lot of stuff with the school and also with the prison, you know, in Hudson. So I haven't heard about that too much, but I know that they do it. Certainly, just, you know, the buzz of them being here is amazing, and people are really excited. I just went to a performance this last weekend that they did, one of their workshop performances, and it was packed. And a beautiful, beautiful space. My gosh, they really up the ante, let's say, in Catskill. And, you know, they're bringing in a lot of people from far away. I know there were people from Massachusetts and New York City that came up to see that
performance. To see the show, not just to be in the show.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
Do you think, have you seen impacts yet? There's a lot of talk in the city about moving the energy from not just Main Street, but over to Bridge Street and the... on the creek,
right?
There's talk about a ferry from Hudson to Athens also coming to up the creek to Catskill.
That would all be great. You know, who knows? We have this dream project. There's a water sort of parade that goes on in the Netherlands, all based on one particular artist. They have just boats that come down the river, you know, and they're all decorated floats and stuff. And I'm thinking that we could work with Thomas Cole House and do something that's inspired by Thomas Cole or Frederick Church or whatever.
The big thing in Florida with the Parade of Lights is on the waterway in Florida.
You can
do it on the creek.
We have a perfect place for that, you know. Do it on the creek, you know.
Lumberyard's talking about renting barges and doing dance performances on the creek in the summer when it's warmer, too.
Right,
So the creek may be the new theater.
I think it's a channel that could be really developed and made into something, you know. Because, you know, lining the creek would be great and getting stuff going on in there. It's really wonderful, you know.
Well, and if there were some businesses or theaters, arts groups along the creek, there's just basically these empty spaces now.
Yeah. We hope to get there. I think, you know, Catskill is really coming to life. I'm on the Local Development Corporation as well, and there's now a merchant association that's working with them that's bringing together merchants on Main Street as well as West Bridge. We've got a couple of new businesses that are successful on West Bridge. The Juice Place and Winkle's Bakery is incredible.
Down by you guys?
That's down by us. Winkle's is great. Really wonderful breakfast stuff.
Do you get the sense that the town and the village see the arts as important, an important part of development and an economic driver in the area?
I think they're finally getting a clue, yes. I know, Vinny, a couple years ago when we were just, you know, really, I think when we did our theater, when we did the ribbon cutting in the theater itself, you know, Vinny, the mayor, came in and said, you know, we looked at this building. It was on the market for 2.5 years before we bought it. And he said, I looked at this building and see, somebody has to buy this. It's a great, you know, it's a great building, but I never thought it would be a theater. I mean, that was the sort of last thing anybody was thinking about. But I think we came in, we wanted to work in Catskill. I had worked at Stageworks in Hudson. I mean, we just moved up here permanently in 2008, so we haven't been here that long. But we love this area, and we bought property on Old Kings Road and built a house there. Love the mountains and the creek and, you know, just the variety of this region. And really, you know, wanted to do something and really wanted to do it in Catskill. There was no place for theater in Catskill. There's the community theater, which is, of course, now just
movies. Yeah.
Movies, and there's the stage is really not adequate for theater. There's the Orpheum up in Tannersville, and that's a great space, but it's huge, way too big for what we want to do. We're used to, you know, 99-seat type environment, so we've got 84 seats in our theater now, which is just the right size for this area, really. And the space was perfect. It had all the pieces that we needed, and we got a great big grant from New York State to build out the theater itself, and now we got another grant to do the renovation of the apartment, so that's great, too. So we've had a lot of support from the state, from New York State. They recognize that, you know, this is what can drive this community is the arts. So they're giving money for that, and a lot of money to Lumberyard. So,
all right, we're speaking with John Soule from the Bridge Street Theater. Any other things on the schedule for 2019 that we haven't mentioned?
We got a new projector and a big screen, so we're looking to do maybe Movie Mondays, just free movies. Stephen may be the you know, figure out what movies, strange movies that aren't being done anywhere else, just like theater, just like our theater. We'll do show some movies and get people in for that, so that should be fun, too.
And people can go to bridgestreettheater.org,
right? That's it, yeah.
For more information?
And you can spell it either way, E-R-R-E, and you still get there.
People are very set in their ways with that spelling, aren't they?
Well, one, you know, depends on where you are. You know, theater... Some people say theater, E-R, is the building and R-E is the art, but, you know, the New York Times does it always E-R and other places always do it R-E, so, you know, who knows? We did R-E, we decided on R-E, but if you go to theater, Bridge Street Theater, you can spell it either way.